Amen. Mayon, mayon, nu, nu, yes, yes, nu, nu. Hallelujah. Yes, there we go. Thanks, Andrew. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. There is just a wee final mention. I never said this to Susan, but I was thinking about when she mentioned the conference that we had just attended down in Walsall. Andrew Womack Ministries next event down in Walsall will be the Healing Is Here conference with, for those of you who are familiar with Daniel Amstutz. Daniel is the Dean of Worship and Arts for Andrew Womack Ministries in Colorado. And he also heads up the healing over there. So that's on the 14th and 15th of November, if I remember right. Just let me find the date. Yep, dates are the 14th and 15th of November. There is a Healing Is Here conference with Daniel Amstutz down in Walsall. So that might be of interest to some folks who maybe have difficulty or have been struggling with health issues, emotional issues, healing issues for a period of time. And it might just be that wee boost that you might need. Amen. So praise God. But we did have a good time. Those times, I kind of used to make Susan laugh because I used to always say to her, you know, the minister's conferences are the best time. I says, I love it. It's the best time of my calendar year because we just go and do nothing. And for me, it was always doing nothing because it's just a joy to be there. Although there is a lot goes on. There is a lot of ministry goes on. There is a lot of fellowship goes on. But it's just such a good time. And I just get so refreshed by being there. So, but we are blessed to be home. It's been a long 9 days, an extremely busy 9 days. But you know what? They who refresh others shall themselves be refreshed. So I've come home supercharged up, Bill. Praise God, I'm not weary, I'm not tired, I'm just rearing to go, I'm fired up, hallelujah. And I've come back, I believe I've come back with a word, and really Sarah's preached my message this morning. Amen. Because you know, she chose to rejoice during the fire. Most of us would have been like Sarah and screamed and screamed and screamed, and then we wouldn't have given thanks because of that, and we wouldn't have believed God for that. But because she chose, her and Andrew chose to stand in agreement, and they were just going to praise God anyway and believe that something good would have come out of that, God rewarded that faith. Amen. To the tune of £11,500 and plus much more. I wonder if we would have rejoiced if we hadn't got the £11,500. But they had already chose to rejoice before they received that. Because, you know, we're not called, and my message this morning is don't trust your eyes and your ears. Do not trust your eyes nor your ears. They will lie to you. They will not give you the whole picture. They will not tell you the whole truth. Sarah, there's a verse I was reminded when you were sharing this morning that many, many years ago, a long time ago, the founding pastor and his wife of this church used to live in a house called Glen Aris. And after the third time, Sarah, third time, everybody say third. After the third time, Sarah, of their house being burgled, I had to go and share Hebrews 10:34. Do you know what Hebrews 10:34 says, Sarah? You don't. Not off the top of your head. It says from the NIV, take cheerfully the spoiling of your goods. Imagine having to tell somebody that after they've been broken in the third time. But I did. I shared that with them. And you know what? They received it. They embraced that truth. And God honored and prospered them. What happened? What was happening? I remember speaking into Pastor Alec Gillis's life up in Govan 48 hours before disaster came upon his life. I said to him, Alec, something's going to happen that looks like the end, but it's just the beginning. He said, what is it? I went, I don't know. I said, but something's going to happen, but it looks like the end, but it's just the beginning. Tell me more. I said, I haven't got any more. That's all I've got to give you. Within 48 hours, a huge fire burned his church building down. And as he was standing outside the church building, looking at this thing being razed to the ground, all he could hear was, something looks like the end, but it's just the beginning. What did he do in common with Sarah? They were taking cheerfully the spoiling of their goods. Because the verse goes on to say that you have a far better inheritance than these earthly things. So you need to remember examples like that from Scripture, from the body. They chose to praise the Lord rather as going into meltdown. The only thing that went into meltdown was their Land Rover. Everything else remained strong and secure. And yeah, their faith was tested. Yeah, they were going through the fire. But they did not burn. And God rewarded that. They who honor me, I will honor, says the Lord. So praise the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Remember that the next time calamity comes. You all remembered it right there because everything was relatively good just now. But Jesus tells us that we will have trouble. So when that trouble comes, remember, you're not walking by what you're seeing with these eyes or hearing with these ears. You're walking by faith and not by sight. So turn your Bibles, please, in the light of all of that, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we are going to underline and emphasize today the importance and the value of your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read from verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 16, and I'm reading from the New King James. It says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came, from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, at the beginning of 2 Peter, Peter's been reflecting on his experience, and we touched on it there through these verses. He's been reflecting on the experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. Can you imagine that? Imagine being able to tell your congregation, I was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. That commands your attention. I saw Moses and Elijah that same day when I was with Jesus. Can you just imagine the respect this man's got standing before his church congregation? That's incredible. And here he is reflecting on true events. Actual true events. He was part of a very select group of three who Jesus called into his inner circle. Wow. And here he is now pastor in the church. He had witnessed Jesus' face shining like lightning, and his clothing radiating like the sun. He also experienced seeing Moses and Elijah appear before Jesus and watched as they began conversing with him. I just can't comprehend. I can't I really can't imagine what that's like. There you are at the top of a mountain, good enough being with Jesus, but then all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appear. Wow. Think about that. Just consider these things. And yet, it's incredible when you think Peter even heard the voice of God speak. Who's really genuinely heard? I've never heard the audible voice of God. Has anybody had that experience? Yeah, there's one hand, two hands, two and a half hands, three, four hands. Has anybody ever seen God? One hand, two hands. So there's four that we've heard and two that we've seen. That's not a big majority, is it, out of the crowd that's in here today? But you know what? Regardless of that wonderful hearing God, regardless of that miraculous even seeing God, you've also got a more sure word of prophecy. There's something greater than hearing him, the audible voice. There's something greater than seeing him. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. And I'll tell you what, church, if we really knew that, we would spend a lot less time on Facebook and all these other things that take our attention, Game Boys, Facebooks, all these gadgets that we have. If we truly believed that this was above seeing Jesus, and if this was above hearing Jesus, we'd be in this all the time. How much time do we spend on junk? And I'm including me. How much time do we spend on junk? We spend, yeah, good answer, too much. We do, every one of us does. In church, it's because we haven't got the revelation. That this is, reading this is greater than standing on the Mount of Transfiguration. Reading this is greater than hearing the audible voice of God saying, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." We don't have that revelation of what this is. Andrew was encouraging us this morning about diamonds. Man, we need to mine this treasure. We need to mine this cave, the Word of God, and start to bring out these treasures and give them and share them to one another. It's not just precious. Who's precious? The Word of God is, sorry, precious, but the Word of God is way above precious. I love Precious's company. She's a sweetheart. She's a delight. But there's something more greater than precious. Even a Deborah with attitude. Praise the Lord. It's just incredible. Peter's congregation, I don't know my imagination, but Peter's congregation must have felt honored to not only have one of the original 12 disciples as their pastor, but even more so knowing that he was one of the three men who formed Jesus' inner circle of friends. Wow, what an association. And I just go off on a tangent sometimes and I'm thinking these things and just dream what it must have been like for them. You know, but as wonderful as these experiences were to Peter, he was explaining to his congregation that there was something more powerful than having an open vision or hearing God speak from heaven. It's the Word of God, which is the more sure word. Wow. It's an imperishable word. An imperishable word. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, "For you have exalted above all things," say all things, "your name and your word." Above all things is his name and his word. Oh, that we would believe that. We would never be out of this, digging for the treasures, seeking for the treasures for personal gain and also for body gain. That what I bring out of this pit, out of this cave and out of this, wherever you mine diamonds or gold. No, let's call it diamonds. Because you mine diamonds, don't you? Yeah, you do. Isn't that right? Yeah, I'm questioning myself here. You mine diamonds. So when I bring these diamonds out of the mine, I want to share them with the Larrys and the Stuarts in my life. I want to give these nuggets away. Freely we have received, freely we just give it away. Hallelujah. So 138 verse 2, Psalm says it's exalted above all things. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable or corruptible seed, but imperishable or incorruptible through the living and enduring word of God." This is a living and enduring word. Peter Marshall puts it like this, that he says, no matter how many times the word of God is banged over the anvil of time, it's still the word of God. It changes not. It's still the same as it was written all those years ago. It's still the same today. As real as it was in those days of history, it's real today. It never changes. I am the God who changes not. So incorruptible or imperishable, what does that mean? It means this, not subject to change. This word is not subject to change. It's a yes and it's an amen from God to you through Jesus Christ. If he's promised you something, then you hold on to that. Regardless of how long it takes to see the fruition of that promise, don't be governed by these eyes, don't be governed by these ears. Hold on to what God has spoken to you. Now, there's only a few of us have heard the audible voice of God, but we all hear the voice of the Lord via the Holy Spirit. We hear the Lord through the Word of God. We hear the Lord through one another. We hear the Lord through creation. So there's only a few of us in this room today that have actually heard God speak. But none of us have got no excuse. God speaks to us even through one another. Linda, this may come as a surprise to you. God speaks to you through Jim, your beloved husband. I know you know that. I'm just picking on you. As Billy Epperhart would say, settle down, I'm joking. Praise the Lord. But we do, we speak through one another. We sang to one another the word of God. Not just words. That's why I get blessed with John. John's pretty good at selecting songs that are true, that are declaring the word of God. So it's not subject to change or decay. It won't rot, David. It will stay fresh. When we went away last Thursday, I meant to send my son a message to say there's fruit in the fridge, there's milk in the fridge, just take what you want from the fridge because it'll be off by the time we get back. Well, I forgot to send the message. And man, Susan said the fruit was blue when we came back. Blue strawberries. But praise God, the word of God will not go off. It will not rot. It will not decay. It's not subject to decay or deterioration. It's incapable of decay. Something that is incapable of suffering the effects of wear and tear and age. Oh, Jim. Jim, that I was incapable of suffering the effects of wear, tear, and age. This is not the 17-year-old face, Jim, that I used to look at in the mirror. No, not yours. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just needing to... I don't know what I'm needing. But anyway, outwardly I'm wasting away, praise God. Inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. But the Word of God, it's incapable of suffering the effects of wear and tear and age. Man, if you could bottle that... It's been bottled. It's been bottled in you. And you're meant to be given this miracle lotion, Nicola, for people to just bask in and dwell in and rub it all over. Oh, hallelujah. It's incapable of wear and tear and age. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? It's not subject to change. Praise the Lord. It's not subject to wear, tear, and age. It's not subject to change. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts." Hallelujah. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 2 Samuel 22:31 say the word of God is flawless. It's perfect. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And finally, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Hallelujah. That is this book. That is the word of God. It can do all of this and so much more in our lives and in our hearts. You know, not every believer will have a vision of God. Not every believer will have a vision or hear God speak audibly in our lifetime. But everyone can have the word of God. Now, I know there are some persecuted Christians, and also there are some churches, underground churches that are overseas. You know, I'm reminded of the people that Vladimir once told us about. Vladimir is a friend of ours who lives in the Ukraine. And Vladimir goes to all the stands. He goes to Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, all of these stands he goes to. And he primarily and predominantly ministers to the underground church, where they meet in fear of their lives, because if they're known to be public meetings, then they can be arrested, jailed, or worst case scenario, they can be killed for their faith, martyred for their faith. But Vladimir really inspired me one time when he was telling us about the time when he took... Vladimir is incredible. He's only about this height. I remember, yeah, because he's smaller than Susan. So Susan's there, so Vladimir's about here. He's just a small guy. He's incredible. It's funny, before he came to visit with our house, David and Shona Curry brought them to our house a long time ago for supper one night. So we had never met Vladimir before, and so we were thinking, wonder what it'll look like, Vladimir. Vladimir Franchuk is his name, Vladimir Franchuk. So we're thinking 6'6" Russian, you know, and he's built like the back end of a bus, and he's just got muscles everywhere. So we had this concept of what Vladimir was going to look like. Man. And I have to admit, initially, I was disappointed. This tiny guy showed up at my front door. He was tiny. He was small in stature. But I'll tell you, I have never met a bigger man of faith than Vladimir Franchuk. As much as he was this size in the natural, man, he was a giant. He was a giant. He smuggled Bibles into all of these stands and underground churches at the expense of his life, at the threat of his life. He'd been jailed on more than one occasion, threatened with death on more than one occasion, and yet still this guy fed the church with the word of God. And he says they're so hungry for it, they actually tear pages out of the Bible. They then memorize the page and then pass it on to their friend. They memorize it. They're so hungry for the word of God. What do we do? Oh, let's get the Xbox out. Let's get onto Facebook. Man, church, come on, we need to waken up and grow up. We really need to get into this. We need to show that hunger, express that hunger, as these guys do. What an example they are to us. That's why Paul said to Timothy, 5 things, I've shared this with you many times. He shared, be an example to the believers. He didn't say be an example primarily to the world, although we're meant to be. Be an example to the believers. Who are the believers? The house of God. Be an example to the house of God in faith, love, life, purity, and speech. These 5 things. How's your speech towards the believers? How's your love towards the believers? How's your faith towards the believers? Purity, uprightness, how's that towards the believers? I don't know about yours, but mine can increase, mine can be better, mine can grow. But I'm just throwing the challenge out there. Why should I be the only one challenged, Bill? Hallelujah. But that's to the believers we're supposed to be these things. Hallelujah. But the word must always be our final authority. That's what it was for Andrew and Sarah through that meltdown of a Land Rover. The word of God was their final authority. If what we see with our eyes contradicts God's word, go with God's word. If what you hear with your ears contradicts God's word, go with God's word. Hold on to what he has spoken to you. Hold on to the promise of God. Hold on to the truths revealed, because he who promised is faithful. He will see you through. He will get you across to the other side of the lake, as he promised his early disciples. Let's cross to the other side. They had been given the promise even before they jumped into the boat. They were told they were going to the other side. So when the storms of life come, he's already promised you, you'll make it. You'll get to the other side. If what we hear with our ears contradicts, and if what we see with our eyes contradicts, choose the word. Peter was simply reminding the congregation. He was speaking to his congregation to place the word of God as the highest priority in our lives. It has to be. You know, whether you're a local that's lived here, or missionaries like the Crees that have come here now for, I don't know, 3 years, I'm guessing. How long is it? 2 years. 3 years. You know, we all have to put your trust in Jesus. They, for 3 years and longer, have had to hold on, because the planning stage took about 5 years before you even got here. Is that right? Something like that. So there's 8 years minimum of holding on to what God has said. Now that's to missionaries, to foreigners in a foreign land, but even to the locals. What has God spoken to you all these years? And you were able to hold on to something that God had spoken to you and Andrew during a time of crisis. And Sarah is no exception. God is no respecter of persons. What he can do for Sarah, he'll do for you. He really will. Hallelujah. Psalm 138 verse 2 says that God has magnified his word even above his own name. Man. Listen, circumstances can never change the promises of God. Circumstances can never change the promises of God, but the promises of God can change your circumstances. It's so true. The word of God can change your circumstances. Heaven and earth, the Bible teaches, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word endures forever. Oh, that we fully understood that. We really need to go down deep into that mine and really believe these truths, church. And I include me. I'm not picking on you at all. We're all in this together. We really are. I think we should maybe even just simply make a choice today to make the word of God the foundation of our life. I had a wee laugh. Is Stacey in here today? She's out, okay. Ibuka? No. No, he's working. And the ones you want to pick on are never here. But you know, and I don't mind sharing this conversation, because we're now all, the three of us are now all in agreement, the three of us being me, Ibuka, and Stacey. Because Stacey came up to me a wee while back, and I could see that wee puzzled look on Stacey's face. That Stacey's great, because Stacey's the kind of girl that she can't hide anything. You just see it. You just know when there's something not right with Stacey. So she had this wee look on her face. I went, "Hey, what's up?" And she always makes me laugh, because she always says, "How do you know there's something up?" I said, "I can see it on your face." I says, "Tell me what's up." She says, "Well, me and my husband have had a wee disagreement." I said, "What's your disagreement?" She says, "Well, I got up in the mornings and I go down and get my cup." I can't remember if she said a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. I go down and get my cuppa, and then I go to be with the Lord, just to have my wee 5 minutes with the Lord. And her husband, God bless him, her husband was pointing a finger at her and saying, "You're putting that cup of coffee before God. You're getting a cup of coffee before you're going to be with the Lord." She says, "Pastor, is that right?" And I hate it when wives or spouses come and ask a conversation between a husband and a wife. I'm not coming between husband and wife, so praise the Lord. But I'll come back to my answer to that in a minute. It really blessed me, because at the business summit of Andrew Womack Ministries. We've got Charlie and Jill LeBlanc leading the praise and worship. We've got Karen Conrad, one of the Business Summit speakers, standing there, my Susan there, and me standing here. And I'm praising the Lord and lifting my hands up to heaven and just thanking Jesus. And I just, for a moment, brought my hands down and just kind of looked. And I looked to my left, and there's Karen Conrad standing, praising the Lord, worshiping, holding a cup of coffee. I thought, Ibuka, where are you when I need you most? Now, I'm not being insensitive to Deborah or Precious, but you know, we all know that Ibuka comes from an African nation. African nations are predominantly legalists. They are. I've been to a number of them. They're predominantly legalists. Praise God for the grace message, but it's mixed with legalism. It's mixed with the law. And that's Ibuka's background. But you know what? Ibuka's getting set free. Ibuka is getting set free by the grace of God. And I just love how that's why I'm boasting in him today, because that boy is not the man he used to be. That boy is not the man he used to be. He grew up quick. He had a hard paper delivery, a hard paper round. But you know, it's just, isn't it funny how small things, like a cup of coffee, can be a stumbling block to somebody else. That's why we're not meant to compare one another with each other. You're you. And you be comfortable being you. I'm me, and I'm more than happy being me. I love being me. I'm content being me. I don't want to be anybody else in this room or in the body of Christ. I'm me. This sounds boastful, but you need me to be me. Because only me can bring to the table what me can bring. I know that's not good English, but it's the point I'm making with me. You need me to be me. I need you to be you. I need us to be us. Because only you can bring to the table what you can bring. And that all stems from having a revelation and a knowledge of the Word of God. So I really believe we just need to choose the Word over our own eyes. Choose the Word over our own ears. Choose the Word over our own thoughts. Choose the Word over our own feelings. I got a text from somebody yesterday who said, they're not doing too good just now. That was the text message from a brother in Christ. I'm not saying whether it's from here. He's a brother in Christ. Got a text message to say, not doing too good just now. You know, the minute we start saying that, guess where your attention is? It's on yourself. It really is. And I'm sorry to be harsh, and I'm not being critical, but that's the truth and that's a reality. The minute when I start saying to Susan, I'm not feeling too good today. I'm just feeling low today. I'm feeling down today. Things aren't right today. That's all about me. Well, it was never about me, but it was always about him. It's always about Jesus. So I was encouraging my friend just to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, all of these things, your financial problems, they won't last forever. Sicknesses will not last forever. Depression, oppression, they're only temporary, but the Word of God will abide with you forever. So I want us to take the eternal Word and believe it over the temporary problem. Because the eternal will change the temporary. Amen. Can we all stand? Thank you, Jesus. I know there are people here today, even in this room, even in this auditorium. There are people here today that have difficulties going on in their lives, and I, for one minute, I am not belittling that. But my encouragement to you and my exhortation to you is to get your eyes off of your problem and on to your solution. Your solution, can you remember the story in the minute that what I teach on Hagar, when Hagar was in the wilderness, She had been banished to the wilderness by Abraham and Sarah. Her son Ishmael was with her. The water provision had gone, the food provision had gone. So she put the child down and she withdrew a bow shot away because she could not bear to watch the child die. She cried out to God. The angel of the Lord answered that cry immediately. And then it says this, then her eyes were immediately opened to the well of water. The well of water, I truly believe, and I can't really prove it from Scripture, but I truly believe the provision, the well of water was there all the time. She didn't see it because her eye was on the problem and not the solution. All she could see was death, the death of her son, the despair, being banished from the household, being rejected by man and rejected by woman. All she could see was the problem. And therefore, because all that was she was seeing, she couldn't see the solution, which was there before her all the time. How many Christians are like that? Born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers. We're going through life. We're going through difficulties. We're going through hardship. We're looking at the problem. We're talking about the problem. We're magnifying the problem. And yet our solution was there all the time through Jesus Christ. So Father, help us today as a church. Help Glen Aris Saints as a church. Help our visitors today at this church. Help those online who will hear this message later on at some point, Father God, this week. Help them to see that your word is sufficient. That your word will sustain us. That one word from God can change our situation. One word from God can change our circumstance. Father God, help us. Help us to put a guard over our mouths that we would not sin against you. That what comes out of these mouths, what comes off of these lips, is the word of God. It is your promises to one another. And Lord, help us to faithfully minister these words of encouragement and life to each other. So Lord God, I just thank you for every saint standing here today. Thank you for every saint standing with their head bowed today. Lord God, that we are making up our minds, we are resolving to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He who promised is faithful. Lord, we no longer trust completely what we see with our natural eye, trust completely what we hear with our natural ears, but we will be a people, as Paul encourages us, to not walk by sight, but to walk by faith. So, Father, I thank you for these precious saints, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You can hug somebody. Praise the Lord.